I also used to look at the sun pretty often. I found it mesmerizing, the blazing light of the sun in the sky, and how it blessed everything it touched and brought things to life. And of course, people would say, don't do that, you'll damage your eyes. And sure enough, perhaps some of that happened, but it was quite spectacular to get lost in the radiance of the sun, which Maharaj, I think, said is visible Brahman, the God visible to mankind. And yet, we hardly revere it. We take it for granted. And it doesn't care. Because it's its nature. There is a question on how to bear intense physical pains. Intense physical pains sometimes are part of one's destiny. Cannot be avoided. But what can be avoided is the psychological involvement in the pain. Why me? Why did God do this to me? I have been such a good person all my life. What have I done wrong? I don't deserve this. Me. And as we started by saying, as Bhagwan said, it is all as per prarabdha karma. So the pain is witnessed without the me creating a story around it. Most of us create the story around the pain and then we identify with it. This happened to me. This is what happened. This is my story. And we start talking about it. I went through this pain. I saw this pain. And it becomes one more element the ego has added to its script of its existence. In my spiritual teacher's case, he said something very beautiful. And you have mentioned the example of migraines in your question. He had migraines for 30 years. And one fine day, when he woke up, the migraine disappeared, never to come back, ever. And he said, at that time, I understood that the absence of pain is the greatest pleasure. The absence of pain is the greatest pleasure. If God came to you just now and asked you, I can take away all your pain from this moment till your last breath. You will never feel pain. Psychological or physical. But I will not give you even one pleasure. Many of us would take it because we know what pain is. But others who have been attached to pleasures, they may not. And the pain for us is the pain of the body. But for the jnani who is disidentified with the body, who is established in pure being, for the jnani, physical pain is far worse because it is felt directly in the consciousness. This is what Maharaj has said. And even physical pain is a call to wake up. Any form of suffering is a call to wake up. Mandar has asked a question. I have always read that it is the thinking mind or the me which is responsible for the disruption of peace. Is the activity of the thinking mind also God's will? If so, how can one calm it? Certainly it is. Certainly the activity of the thinking mind is also God's will. And that is why the teachings have come to you. That is how it will be calmed, which is also God's will. That is why Rameshji would say, if God has brought you so far, why be pessimistic and think he will drop you here? So So the sheer fact that you are even asking this question means you are on the journey. Kranti has mentioned, yesterday I was caught in a whirlpool of pain and panic, resulting in waves of emotions, prominently the emotion of fear. But soon enough, rooted in the now and the fear dropped. The point is, none of these two were in your control. And that is witnessed. The arising of the fear is witnessed. Knowing that there is not much one can do about it is witnessed. And then no more involvement in the fear, even that is witnessed. That is what witnessing is. But we force ourselves not to feel certain emotions. Let's not feel fearful. Very difficult. You didn't create the fear in the first place. And now you are trying to fight the fear. So it always comes back to witnessing. What happens is we get involved in the fear with the understanding this involvement drops. So we let fear be. Fear is arising now. Let it arise. That is witnessed. Sagar has asked, why is a waking state needed to know the absence of misery experienced in deep sleep? Doesn't this imply causality? Do I need a waking state and a body-mind complex to report deep sleep? It is the one who is asking this question, who is concerned with the causality. In deep sleep, that one does not exist. The identified consciousness of the waking state becomes impersonal consciousness in the deep sleep state. The one in the deep sleep state does not need any confirmation in the waking state. It is the one who is asking this very question, which cannot imagine that its very absence was the result of deep sleep. Ramana said that the ego is the phantom in the system. It doesn't really exist. Can you talk on that? Yet, even Ramana would respond to his name being called. So what did he mean by that? It is the ego with its sense of doership that is the phantom in the system. And that is why he gave the example of the gopurams in the temple, which have been carved so nicely at the base of the temple as if they are holding the temple up. They have been carved into the pillars, thinking that they are doing it. That sense of doership is the phantom. That is why a master like Shirdi Sai Baba used to tell his devotees, see me not only in everyone but in every animal you come across. And he used to play this trick. He would tell a devotee that I will come visit you at 4 p.m. tomorrow evening and keep some lunch ready for me. And he would not show up. So the devotee would get frustrated and waited and waited and didn't know what to do with the food. And this is a devotee's account that she heard a dog barking outside the door and it was irritating her, and she opened the door and screamed at the dog and shooed it away. And the next day she went to Sai Baba and said, Sai, you promised me you were coming. You didn't show up. I put in all this effort for the food. And he replied something to the effect of, but didn't a dog come to your door at 4 p.m.? That was me. That is why he would say, whoever comes up to you, even if it's a beggar who knocks on your window, crosses your path, don't give money if you don't want. But do not bark at them like a dog. Because they are all aspects of the divine. Now, how will this understanding permeate one's being when one accepts that no one truly does anything and God is the only doer? Then one starts living the teaching. In this pandemic situation, it is making me afraid whether anything will happen to myself or my family. Is this God's will to whom this disease happened? If not God's will, then whose will? And what about all the pandemics since time immemorial? What about the plague, the Spanish flu? What about the wars? And it is natural to be afraid. And that is what makes us take precautions. But one has the full understanding that it happened because it was meant to happen. And all we can do is do our best to prevent ourselves from getting it. The rest is in God's hands. Would not this simple understanding bring a sense of peace? Rajiv has asked a very nice question. Can you please speak about the meaning of the word identification in spirituality? Basically, what all are we identified with is what we derive our sense of self from. Me and my story. The objects around me, the relationships I cherish, certain thoughts in my head. This happened to me. This didn't happen to me. I love this person. I don't like this person. Me, me, me. Circling back always to the me. Whenever you find yourself circling back to yourself, that is the identification. The more the identifications, the more the suffering. Because if something happens to that relationship, if something happens to that object, you are shaken up. Because the sense of self which you derive from that is threatened now. If you are identified with a shirt which you love, which is very expensive, and your maid ruins it in the wash, you will know the degree of your identification with that shirt based on your reaction and your involvement in that reaction. Your sense of self is threatened. But if something happens to that shirt and you paid a lot of money, of course you get upset. You may even say something to the maid that please don't be so careless next time. But after that, the involvement is finished. Whatever reaction is there is a reaction in the moment. But we get involved in it. And we create all these stories and dramas because we were identified with the shirt. My shirt. How dare you do this to my shirt, my expensive shirt, which I paid so much money for. Are you stupid? Can't you see what you're doing? How many times have I told you? You see, that is what ordinary people do. And one can apply this to everything in life. All your cherished belongings, relationships, or beliefs. If someone says something which you don't believe in, and see your reaction. If someone sees a movie and said, oh, I hated that movie, and you say, oh, I loved it. How do you mean? How can you say you hated it? It's such a good movie. See your identification. Isn't he or she equally justified in having an opinion of the movie just like you are? But we are identified with our opinions, our beliefs, our concepts, our judgments. And therefore, we suffer. I would like to show this card once more in case some people missed it. I hope you can read it. There are some other very nice questions which have come, which we will take up day after tomorrow. I have sparrows outside my window. We put some bird feed out for them. For them, it's just an ordinary day. No thinking mind. That is why Rameshji would say, animals are in a perpetual state of meditation. Because God did not gift them a thinking mind, which creates all the monsters